It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Groupies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
What's going on?
The news. Koberger, the guy suspected of killing those Idaho college co-eds in 2023? It's been a couple years now. It was a little over a couple years now. And we've been waiting a long time for this thing to go to trial. It's supposed to go to trial this summer. Yesterday, they were back in court because his defense team is trying to get a lot of stuff thrown out, including like the main DNA evidence, because they don't like the way that the stuff was obtained through the genealogy websites. Sure. And all that. Ever since Golden State Killer, this has been how they've solved a bunch of cases. Usually, it's these old cold cases where these cold case detectives go, oh, we should try this now and see if there's anyone in the database. But in his case, that's the first one I know of where it was like, this is a current murder and we're going to use it immediately to see if we can get a hit on that DNA. I know there were other clues. Snowcone knows this case very well. There had been someone who'd said that they saw the car that they'd seen. One of the security guards gave a description of his face. And those different things. But they did pretty quickly decide to use... When they found that DNA on that knife sheet, they decided to use genealogical DNA or whatever to see if they could find a match.
I don't know.
It
took them 3 months to arrest them. I don't know if it was... You know, like if they did it quickly, they didn't lead to him very quickly because it was like 3 months.
Well, but 3 months is pretty quickly when we're talking about
the national media.
It was
about how, like, are they going to find the killer?
Of course, they do that. We talked about that. They, just like Luigi, they do that with everybody every time.
No.
But the fact that they used that... Kind of from the get-go is what I'm saying. It wasn't a cold case or anything. So they used it. They said, oh, we think that it is this guy. They went to – they actually followed him out to his house in Pennsylvania because he and his dad were taking a road trip back to Pennsylvania. And they went and collected some discarded trash. Now, Koberger seemed to be aware of the fact that they – and we don't know this, but he appeared to be behaving like someone who knew that his DNA was – going to be collected by the police when it went to the trash. He was wearing gloves, putting his DNA stuff, anything that might have his DNA.
At 3 in the morning and putting trash, his separate trash in his Ziploc bags.
And all that, with gloves on. So it's stuff that most of us probably wouldn't do, but it doesn't mean that he's guilty. Maybe he did it all the time. But his defense team says, we don't like any of this, judge. You should throw it out. And the judge says, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
No, I'm trying to understand the legal argument.
Brian Koberger's legal team under heavy scrutiny, with the judge throwing cold water on the defense's effort to get the DNA evidence connecting him to the stabbings of four college students tossed out.
I can't find any case law that would support that idea, that somehow a warrant would be needed for DNA left at a crime scene.
Runner, there was no warrant for several phases of the search.
When there's a DNA in the sheath in Mr. Koberger, isn't that probable cause every day and twice on Sunday?
The defense is also trying to get there to Brian Koberger there to avoid the death penalty. A lot of times when the death penalty is on the table, I've noticed just from watching true crime stuff, it seems like these days the death penalty is used more as a negotiating tool than anything else.
Sure. It's a cudgel.
We want some information. We'll take the death penalty off the table if you...
I don't get that.
I think it's bizarre.
Because to me, I'm like, no, we're going to go to trial and put it on the table.
Yeah.
Take life in prison off the table and let's figure it out. Because I'm not going for life.
Well,
if you kill me, then, you know, let's figure it out. I'll roll the dice.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too. If there's a chance that you say, maybe you could be paroled after 60 years or whatever, a lot of times then people will talk, right? They'll come up with some sort of a deal. Okay, I'll plead to something because I'd like a shot at parole.
I'm not doing 60 years.
But, and you say you don't want to do 60 years.
I'm not doing 15.
In these death penalty cases,
five.
I think it's always... We'll take the death penalty off the table, but you're still going to get life with no parole.
Yeah, no.
That's
not
what it is. So... People obviously very scared.
I'm trying
of the
to
death
get
penalty.
Out of it.
Yeah, and people are clearly scared
also,
of the death penalty.
It says here that they went after the defense went after the eyewitness.
Which one?
Well, they said the eyewitness told police she was sure she heard one of the victims running down the stairs.
The girl in the house.
So that, Dylan Mortensen.
That diverged from the probable cause affidavit, said the lawyer. So she said she heard someone running down the stairs. They say she couldn't have run down the stairs. Because she was killed upstairs in a bedroom, and then apparently that witness says She admitted to memory problems and wasn't sure if she was dreaming.
Okay.
So, but so my
she would have had to, she heard someone come down the stairs because the killer would have had to come down the stairs.
But, I would have told she was sure she had heard one of the victims. That's the quote.
One of the victims, not the killer. Okay.
One of the victims running down the stairs. That's how they got the probable cause affidavit.
Probable cause for what though? Because they found the knife sheath in the house, and there was a murder. There.
The victim couldn't have been on the stairs because she was killed in the upstairs bedroom. When they brought that up to her, apparently, she said she admitted to memory problems and wasn't sure if she was dreaming. You don't, that's not what you want. You don't want your witness, even if you say, what you don't want your witness to ever say is, look, you just put it on the table, I got memory problems.
No, it's never.
It's not what you want.
And I might have been dreaming.
I'm known for it.
Yeah. I mean, I might have been dreaming could be, at least you could work with what you think you were. Well, no, but I mean, I might have been. But to just go like, yeah, boy, I forget a lot of stuff. Like, okay.
I mean, could you imagine if I was testifying? They would not be hard at all for defense team. If I was testifying for the state in a case,
oh my God, there's
they'd just come to you
tape.
Guys and you'd say, here's this, here's
hours
this, here's him getting this wrong, this wrong, this wrong. So, yeah, you don't want that. I'm a little confused, though, because the DNA came from the knife sheath in the house, right? So they didn't need, like, a search warrant. There's dead bodies.
Nope,
so that's
next to the two bodies upstairs.
That's probable cause when you have dead bodies there that you're allowed to search
right
that. And I felt like that's what the judge was saying. There was you didn't need a warrant to go look
because
for the
sheath.
Because
it was at the crime scene.
Because it was at the crime scene.
I don't need
and then
a warrant to go search for it.
You didn't need a warrant to test the DNA on the sheath because it was a knife sheath next to dead bodies.
It was left behind.
So,
evidence.
And I don't know, maybe the lawyers knew, like, this is beyond a Hail Mary. But the judge seemed to
they've done a lot of that, as they should. That's what defense attorneys should do.
Of course, but yesterday the media was trying to make it seem like, oh, they might have a chance. They're just trying to keep this interesting.
They're throwing everything at the wall, and they should do that.
Of course. You guys remember Shohei Ohtani? Well, we all know who Shohei Ohtani is, but do you remember the Shohei Ohtani scandal with, what was it, Mitsuhara?
His translator.
Yeah, what was Mitsuhara's first name?
I can't remember.
Ipe Mitsuhara. Something Mitsuhara, I know that. This was the translator for Shohei Ohtani that they were also, I think, called themselves best friends. And this guy got in trouble for stealing some money from Shohei. It was quite the scandal when it first hit the news, partially because I think some people wondered, could Shohei have like a gambling problem? Could he have been gambling on sports and now he's going to try and, you know, make it look like it was all his translator's fault? But as the evidence started to come out, it looked more and more like, no. No, he literally was getting money stolen from him by his translator. And now the police have released audio. Did you hear this, Lazo?
No.
There's a recorded conversation between Mitsuhara and someone at a bank where he's pretending to be Shohei Ohtani. I think he's trying to get a car loan or some sort of loan.
Officials say Ipe Mizuhara was trying to transfer $200,000 for what he describes as a car loan.
Who am I speaking with?
Shohei Ohtani.
Could you tell me the name of the payee and the amount of the transaction, please?
$200,000.
What is the reason for this transaction?
For a car loan.
What is your relationship to the payee?
He's my friend.
He was your friend. He's not your friend anymore. But, I mean, I've always thought it's kind of crazy that with a few passwords, over-the-phone passwords, people with a lot of money can transfer this kind of money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But there was just something in the news a couple weeks ago.
But they say, part of that, there was all those things, but part of that was it was because it's his translator. So they say, like you say, it's just your translator, but it's also your personal assistant. And for guys who move over here and don't speak the language at all, you get a translator. You give him
power of attorney
and your social security number because you can't get on the phone and be like, here's my social security number.
Oh.
You can't understand what they're saying.
Right.
So this guy, when it first starts and you're like, hey, they need your social security number to open up this bank account, well, you give it to the translator.
Yeah.
Now the translator's got all of your information.
I was wondering how he had all that information.
Because you got to tell him because he's got
to
tell the other person.
Phone.
Right.
Makes sense. Okay.
Right. Everything about you, your birthday, your parents, anything that anybody would ever know, the translator knows about you.
Makes sense.
So that's how he can get in all your bank stuff.
I guess I just thought that when we start talking about large sums of money, what I consider large sums of money, hundreds of thousands or more, that this requires an in-person sit-down and a signature, but a lot of times it doesn't because this has happened to other people. There was
especially
a story
if you're
about
moving it around, so you're probably like, well, that was a car loan. So he's like, hey, I want to take it out of this account and do this.
Moving a couple hundred thousand dollars
to another account. I'm sure they're like, all right, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Right? You do and have they to tape trust it that. For this reason, but...
They do always tape those conversations.
Yeah,
yes.
But I think, yeah, they probably move that stuff around. I think if you were like, hey, I mean, you know, I want you to send me a check in the mail for it. I think they'd be like, yeah, you know what, you got to come in and get it. But if you were like, hey, I need you to move this from this account to this account, okay.
Yeah, that's what happened in this news story.
I mean, I think the fact that he even had to call, I mean, I wonder what Shohei's limit on Zelle is, right? Like, I know mine's pretty high, right? Like, I'm like, well... you can do like $5,000 a day or something.
Well, Mitsuhara probably
not
had his
that.
Passwords.
You know, he's getting 200, but I mean, yeah.
I'm sure you could transfer from one savings account to
exactly.
With those passwords that he probably had
and
access
open
to.
Open up another account.
Else.
I'm sure that's what he did.
Yeah. Guy stole a lot of money. You have to be able to trust your translator. That's a pretty important job.
Mm-hmm.
It is like your personal assistant, but I would say.
Even more.
Even more, because
even more.
Your personal assistant, you might say, okay, they're asking for your social and your secret. Question. Okay, hand me the phone back. Right? At that point,
right.
That's when Tom Cruise says, all right, I'll answer this stuff. I don't need... But if you don't speak the language, you got to hand all that information over. And for that matter, Mitchell Hart's probably the one who sets it up. Because he's probably the one who comes up with the password because he knows English.
Yeah, and he could be like, hey, blah, 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 blah. And then look at Snowcone and speak Japanese.
Yeah.
And ask you a completely different question.
Exactly.
What did they ask you?
Right.
They asked you for your social security number, your mother's maiden name, and then right?
Right. Yeah.
Whatever information
he just wants to make
you
sure
wanted.
That other account is
right. They want to. They want to know what you want your PIN to be on this new account.
Yeah. Or right. I mean, what kind of pizza you want?
The three people in the room, only one of you understands both of them. Yeah.
Exactly.
I can ask you whatever. And then what did Shohei say? He said he's taking all his money out of this stupid bank. He's had it with you, and he needs you to move it all to. U.S. Bank in this account right now. Screw you.
Yeah,
and then
I got a routing.
Right, and then right, and Shohei's like, yeah, that's what I said.
How much money did he steal? It was in the millions, right?
Yeah, I think what happened was Shohei tried to cover for him. That's my take. If you go back and read all that, there's a thing where they had Shohei's name on the bookies' pay records.
Yes.
So I think when it started to get thick, Shohei was like, look, I'm going to pay off your debt. I think Shohei's probably being a nice guy. Like, look, you got a gambling problem, man. You stole from me. I can't believe you did this, but I'm going to pay off your debt with this guy, and I'll pay it. And that's why they had Shohei's name on it, because they didn't need Shohei's. That guy didn't need to use Shohei's name to pay the gambler. But I think Shohei was like, no, I'm going to pay for it. And then that story came out.
Because the bookie had Shohei's name on it.
Because the bookie had Shohei's name on it. And that's when the translator gave a different story than what Shohei gave, and I believe it's because once Shohei said, once the bookie said he took care of it for me, he's a good guy, it was my fault, I think that's when Shohei's lawyers were like, if you look at the law in California, you are not allowed to pay a bookie.
Oh, that's right, you told me that.
Even if you're paying off someone's debts. So, like, I'm not allowed to pay Snowcone $1 million for you. That's illegal. I can't do it.
Right.
So once they had that check from Shohei, then they're like, you're just as guilty, man.
Yeah.
And that's why his lawyers are like, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
He stole that and sent that check in Shohei's name. And that's when everybody went, yeah, he stole it, sent it in my name.
But
and then
think...
everybody just went silent. I think Shohei's trying to be a nice guy. I'm going to help you out. We're done professionally. Well, I'm going to pay off this bookie so he doesn't kill
you. And whatever, I don't remember the numbers in the beginning, but I think there were numbers that it's possible Shohei might have thought Mitsuhara could have actually run up this type of debt. That maybe he was being allowed to gamble on whatever kind of credit or something. He'd run up $40,000 worth of debt, something like that. And Shohei might not even suspect he's stealing from me to have amassed this much debt.
Maybe.
He might just think, man, you got a lot of gambling debt. It's nothing to me.
Probably knows.
Yeah.
At that
either
point,
way.
It's probably like you're stealing. But either way, he's not allowed to pay it off.
Well, and either way, Shohei's doing just fine. Just fine, guys.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! The rest of the news.
Yeah.
Be warned. Be scared. Be on the lookout for sick birds. The government wants you to watch out for sick birds. Don't feed those sick ducks that keep wandering up to your yard from the golf course, Lazo. Don't feed those Canada geese that are out there in the parking lot every time we try to walk into the building. Do you guys have to deal with those?
No.
Oh. I don't know, don't eat birds or something. But I always thought, well, I'm not really eating a wild bird, so I don't have to worry about that too much. But I guess it's because the birds, they fly, and then they poop on stuff that we do eat. So the main thing here is, and I know you probably have
like broccoli?
Anything. Yeah, crops, I guess, your Coca-Cola. I really don't know. But that's why eggs are so expensive. I wonder why eggs were so expensive.
Why? Because birds are pooping on eggs?
Because birds have bird flu, and they keep killing the birds with the birds flu. I assume so.
Well, I didn't think chickens were wild birds.
Well, I think it's you know, bird flu is all over. It's in the farm stuff. I know. I'm just saying when they say,
and
hey, be careful.
Don't fly.
Be careful with those wild birds
and
out there.
You said
like,
they're worried about,
I'm not worried about
flying
wild birds
and pooping on stuff.
That's another way it could get you sick.
Chickens don't fly.
It's another way it could get you sick, is what I'm saying.
Wait, so the birds are flying and pooping on chickens? And then the chickens are making the eggs better?
I don't know how the chickens got their bird flu. Maybe a bird flew over their factory farm and crapped
on it.
But
broccoli can get
bird
flu?
I don't know about bird. I don't know about broccoli.
What about a cow? Can a cow get bird flu?
Oh,
it's like if a bird poops on a cow?
I think that's mad cow.
I don't think you read this whole thing
mad cow.
All the way through.
I
think you start with
the
wild
warning.
Assumptions.
I read the warning. The warning was that they're saying,
don't eat stuff that birds pooped on?
Well, I mean, no, that's not what they said. They said stay away from birds
from
that look sick, literally. And I thought, why would I be around birds that look sick?
Yeah, but if it pooped on
they
broccoli, then I wouldn't see a sick bird next
exactly.
to it.
That's another way, though, that they can get
who
us
can
sick.
Get me?
The
or
birds it? Can get us sick. And I guess get other birds sick. The point is that's why eggs are expensive. That's all anybody cares about.
Why are eggs expensive?
Eggs are like $3 a dozen or something.
Why, though?
Because so many birds have bird flu. They've been trying to kill the birds with the bird flu so it stops spreading.
$3 a dozen?
I don't know. They're a lot. They're expensive. They were real expensive a little while ago. They're pretty expensive right now.
12 for $3?
Well, I don't know, Snowcone. They're
isn't that
like
cheap?
The brown eggs are.
No,
no.
Like, you could get
dozen
like a
eggs
dozen
used to be like 40 cents.
Yeah,
I mean, they were
not
99
cents or something. Yeah.
Eggs were cheap.
Not that long ago. Now they're like, $4 a dozen or more.
They can get really, really expensive. Oh, especially when you want
those. But I don't understand why the eggs.
Nobody does. Nobody understands, Lazo. Nobody understands. They're killing birds that have bird flu to try and keep it from spreading.
That.
And I guess that includes chickens that have bird
so
flu.
So now there's less eggs? Because
and so there's fewer eggs because it's wiped out some of these
chickens
and some of these factory farms. They say that's part of the reason.
This morning, America's bird flu crisis showing no signs of slowing. With new cases just this month emerging in nearly 25 states. And for the first time, in Philadelphia. Health officials there are warning people to keep an eye out for sick wild birds.
And stay away from them. Keep an eye out for sick wild birds and stay away from them. You don't have to warn me twice. I have no interest in approaching a sick wild bird. Well, I'm sure it's foaming at the mouth.
Sneezing.
Yeah, asking for a dollar, you know. It's like, come on, man. It's scratching its neck.
Now it's a drug addict?
Well, I don't know. If it's approaching you.
I thought it was just sick.
If it's approaching you.
I just had the flu. I didn't know. It had a crack problem.
Well, it's not feeling well.
If all the birds have a crack problem, then I could understand why the price of eggs has gone up.
I don't know.
But you're saying, like, they're addicted to something?
I don't know. I'm saying maybe that's what a sick bird looks like. I don't know.
Their eyes are watering.
Right. I don't know. Maybe it's foaming at the mouth. Maybe
they're scratching themselves.
Mouth.
Like they got an opiate problem?
Yeah, maybe they're sleeping standing up with their heads down.
What are you talking about?
I thought you were making a joke about sick birds. I just said, yeah, stay away from them. Why would you be approaching birds was my joke. Birds don't come up to me. I don't come up to them. So I don't have to be warned to stay away from sick wild birds. I've literally never approached a wild bird that I can think of in my life. Have you? Have you ever touched a wild bird?
You never fed a duck?
I mean, that's what I was trying to think. As a kid, I'm sure I did.
Pigeons?
As a kid, I'm sure I fed those geese that were out by my mom's house. I don't remember it. I know my mom told me to stay away from them. She said that
she never f***ed a canary and it's
no, I don't think so. Is that where chicken fries come from? I wondered. And just so you know, Snow Cone, eggs are now average $4.15 a dozen for large eggs.
Okay.
$4.15 a dozen.
And how much were they in 19?
A year ago, they were $2.51, which was already expensive, they said.
No, no idea.
So I don't know what they were.
Do you not eat eggs?
10, 20 years
ago. Yeah, I never get them, really.
You buy a lot of eggs?
I buy them, but I don't go through a lot of them. I eat them just right about the time their sell-by date hits, which they're good for a while. But I admit, I buy a lot of eggs. I buy the brown ones, I'll admit it.
I don't really check prices all that much. If I need eggs, I just grab a thing of eggs.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they get so... I'm with you. I'm not a price checker either because I need eggs, I need them.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And it's not like they're $500. But at some point, you do notice, like, yo, these things were a buck.
Right.
Like, there are things, if you buy stuff enough,
400%
and you go, you're like, wait, I'm pretty sure I bought these at Aldi for $1.19.
Yeah, because
at some point in my life, you know, and so it's not like $4.50. Like, it's still a cheap product to eat.
Yes.
But it is like one of those things you're like, huh.
Yeah.
That's a lot more expensive. You just notice it.
Well, it's like gas prices. Like I need gas. I'm just going to pay for it. But I might notice, like, oh, that's way more than
$3.89 a gallon or something.
You're like,
wait.
I'm still getting it.
Yeah.
That's where you start to notice it. Or maybe it's not even until you're done and you're like, wait a second. My car held $75? That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Same thing with eggs.
Right.
Eggs are just one of those things that was always supposed to be cheap. They're everywhere. And even if you wanted to go all out and buy the brown eggs, then, oh, now you're being fancy because they cost $2.95, $3.50 a dozen at like Aldi where I would get them. Yeah. Now they can be like $8. I ain't paying $8 for a dozen
brown
eggs. No way. You don't like the flavor of them?
I don't know if they taste any different. I just.
They look
different. They look weird. Yeah.
Now, I mean, when you open them up, they look different. Like the yolks are really. It bothered Brooke at first. She's like, why does the egg look like that? I was like, oh, they're brown eggs. But they do taste different.
No, I don't like it.
But only certain ones I've noticed. Some of them you buy and I crack it open. I'm like, that looks just like, I don't think there's anything. I don't think this was a free-range chicken. I think they just didn't bleach this egg.
Really taste different.
The free-range. It has nothing to do with the color of the egg, but usually they don't bleach the free-range one. So if you get the free-range one, some of them do, yeah.
But
for sure.
How do they taste different?
It's hard to explain. How does an egg taste?
I put cheese on them and onions
then
and Frank's Red Hot.
Yeah,
so
then no need to even worry
about it. I don't eat just a regular egg.
Yeah.
I've never eaten an egg without...
I eat them sunny side up. So the yolks are very dark orange.
Don't you put hot sauce on?
No. I mean, I could, but I don't usually. Just a little pepper.
All right.
I'll put hot sauce if someone likes scrambled eggs. I'm not a big scrambled eggs guy, but I'll put hot sauce on those. But, yeah, not all of them, but some of them, they do taste different. But they ain't worth $8. I'll tell you that. It's not that big of a difference. The Menendez brothers thought they were getting out of prison. Then a new DA got elected. Also, people have the memory span in this country of a gnat. They don't care about the Menendez brothers getting out of prison anymore. That was a couple months ago. Netflix has released at least two documentaries since then. But they did get a resentencing trial, hearing, whatever, resentencing hearing, and it's going to happen in March, so maybe they'll get out in March.
Eric Mile Menendez will now have to wait until March for a resentencing hearing and a chance for freedom they never thought they'd have.
We're in constant contact.
And are they hopeful?
I think that they are cautiously hopeful. Hope is a dangerous game when you are an inmate after 35 years.
Yeah. A dangerous game. I get that. I also could see on the flip side of that, it's the only thing you have is that little bit of hope. But I understand definitely not when you get your hopes up that it's going to happen anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
You see all these people who get, I was on probation, not even in prison. I was just on probation for a little over 4 years. When it was over, I carried that paper around with me, which I did not need to do, that said that I was no longer on probation. And when I got in trouble or had any interaction with police after that, I hope that they got my paperwork right and that I'm not still on.
I
think when you're in prison, that's times a million where people go, you know, they'll say like, well, that's it. Case dismissed. And you see those guys and gals in prison or in court and they're like, well, now what? And like, you can leave. And they're like, I can leave like out the front door. And they're like, yeah, because you got to be careful. You get your hopes up. I can only imagine. After 35 years, though, it feels like maybe these guys got a shot. I don't have much of an opinion on whether or not they need to get out. I don't know. Did their dad molest them?
I was never a guy who, anything like boot camp or, you know, going to jail, whatever, I never count the days.
Yeah.
To me, the only way I would get through it is if I just pretended like, hey, look, that's a, you know, when they come and get you, like, your time's up or boot camp's over, you're like, God damn.
Wow.
I wasn't even planning on that. I just assumed it made it easy, and I know it's bad because other people need to count days. For me, I just had to, like, get my mind right, even in Navy boot camp, like, well, this is just how I'm going to live for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I feel like
that makes
sense.
Dude, it'll be over in 12 weeks. I'm like, no, it won't.
Right.
I have to live like this until I die.
Yeah.
Because if I start counting down the days, then it gets long.
I was going to say, and also, when you are at 12 weeks, that can sound like way too long.
Right.
Like, so don't let me know. You know, just let's just not even think about it. This is my life. As far as I know, this is going to be my life forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then if someone says otherwise, I will be pleasantly surprised. And there's that.
Just get used to this.
Finally, I mentioned this earlier, but Trump has ordered that the MLK files, JFK, RFK files all be declassified. Most of the stuff, I guess, has already been declassified. But there are a few pages left, a couple of pages left in the JFK thing. Might be a little bit more in the MLK thing, according to Snowcone. But everything I read this morning said that most of the stuff's already out there. But that doesn't mean that there couldn't be something interesting.
The MLK one is what's going to be big.
If there's still something that hasn't been, after all these different declassifications, if whatever you've left behind, I'm guessing, is probably some of the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right?
Why would it still be?
Otherwise, why is it still redacted? Right.
Americans are one step closer to learning more about three of the biggest assassinations in U.S. history.
Give that to RFK Jr.
President Trump has signed an executive order to release all documents related to the killings of John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King Jr.
There you go. I don't know what your guys' feelings are about those three different guys and their assassinations. I don't know if you're a conspiracy theorist or not. Well, he signed the thing, so they were acting today like we could get it any time. So, because I watched him sign it, I'm like, well, does that mean that you guys just have... But I think they still probably have to go through the process of literally having someone in the office go, okay, here it is, now we have to make copies of it. And that's what they made it sound like you literally just have to get it now published, I guess. Yeah, and get it up there on the... I don't know if it's the government's website or what. Could there be some sort of... I could just imagine, too, that there's some sort of fight that someone start, you know, like the Pentagon, somebody sues and says, no, we want to keep part of this redacted, and then it gets caught up in court, because that sort of stuff has happened before, too, where someone says, we want this declassified. A different agency says, no, we don't want it declassified.
What, has anybody said that?
I didn't see that in this article this morning at all. No one mentioned that. They made it seem like...
But they might argue and fight over it.
Yeah, they could. Yeah. They could. But, you know what, Laszlo, like I said, don't get your hopes up, but don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if any day now that stuff is available.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Laszlo, people say we're divided as a nation.
Mm.
That we're the most divided we've ever been. I've been hearing that for a while.
I've never felt closer to you.
That's how I feel. I feel very close to you and everyone else.
And we are on the opposite sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Couldn't be more opposite. We're into different things.
Mm-hmm.
Different politics.
We're both banging the same chick, but...
Well, that's bound to happen when you work together as long as we do, though.
Yeah.
And... True. That's not even like a bro code thing. That was like, it almost would have been, I think if there were written bro code, it's like, that's okay.
Yeah.
Because circumstances, that's it. Like, at this moment, one person is available, the other person isn't. You know, just things like that. I think that's fine. You didn't have any ill feelings towards me about any of that, did you?
No, of course not.
Right. Okay. Well, there's other things that divide us, apparently. I think that the media just likes to say that we're divided. Why?
Yeah, sure. Effort and energy towards the whole thing, you know, for both of us.
Yeah, just keeping the case open.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I
keeping it an active investigation. What are some of the other things that divide us, though, besides Trump versus,
Are you going to get a shirt that says that? Trump versus everyone?
Trump versus everyone. Trump versus, I couldn't think of her name, Kamala, I guess, was the last candidate. Trump, Biden, I don't know what defines which person best personifies each side. But there are other things that divide us, little things that we can get really worked up about, like how we say certain things, what we call certain things. And I think you and I agree on most of these things, because oddly enough, even though you're from Detroit and I'm from KCMO, a lot of that weird sort of Midwest stuff, that even if it's in the minority, a lot of times we share those things. Now, there are things that are different. You never liked the way I said grandpa.
I hated it.
You hated it. He wants me to say grandpa.
Grandpa.
Grandpa. I say grandpa.
That's my grandpa.
Doesn't like the paw part.
I just picture a dude in overalls.
Grandpa.
That's my grandpa.
I just say it how it's spelled. I don't know. Grandpa. I couldn't
it's not
hear the difference.
With a W
for
on the end.
The longest time, I could not hear the difference. It took me so long, because you'd say, it's grandpa. Grandpa. I'm like, that's what I'm saying. But I think now I do it, right? Grandpa?
Yeah, grandpa's good.
I got it down. So not I'm going to.
Grandpa and grandma.
My grandpa definitely said grandpa, that's for sure.
Meemaw.
Meemaw, yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I got you.
One of those people. That's my meemaw, my peepaw. Jesus Christ, man, it's your grandpa.
I'm going to tell you about some of these things that divide us, and we'll see if we're any more divided. Because you say we feel very close right now. You've never felt closer to me. We'll see if that still stands here in about 15 minutes.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.